Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week. Through the lens of original thought, here from the studios of the Weekly Worldview, joined in studio as always by my extremely attractive audio engineer. We'll get back to that.
No, don't get back.
Don't get back. Anyway, we're going to start in the America the Beautiful file. America the Beautiful, you remember that notion. That quaint notion, America the Beautiful. Yes, we start with a story from the Daily Mail. A Guatemalan man hid himself in the landing gear of an American Airlines jetliner and survived a flight to Miami from Guatemala. That's right, at altitudes of 30 to 42,000 feet, temperatures as low as negative 54 degrees Fahrenheit, oxygen levels at around 6.3%, that's very low. The plane landed, he got off the plane, appeared relatively unharmed. Some frostbite to his fingers. He was immediately taken to, which is the Federal Aviation Administration, which has little to nothing to do with aviation and safety of it and the execution of it. It's simply a very large bureaucracy. Anyway, according to the FAA, which they have enough cousins and mistresses and nephews sitting around to keep track of how many people have stowed away in 129 people have attempted to stow away in the wheel wells of aircraft. 100 out of the 129 have died. That's a fatality rate of 71%. And our Guatemalan friend survived and basically kissed the ground of America when he got off the plane, thanking God that he had made it to what he perceived as liberty and freedom, or at least a chance at that. According to Customs and Border Patrol, the man is likely to face an expedited removal order and be deported back to Guatemala. At which point, every red-blooded American just wants to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The guy stowed away in the landing gear of a jetliner and survived. So if this guy's not a criminal, I mean, unless he has a criminal record, I say we give this guy a shot at becoming an American citizen. That's all. It's like making it over the falls in a barrel. You don't arrest the guy, do you? Anyway, I'll look into the man's background if he's not already been deported. Because it's guys like this that the communist, homosexual, pervert, deviant scum who sees the government, they don't want guys like this around. They don't want guys like this around. So they're going to get him out of the country as soon as possible. Anyone willing to take a chance, a life and death chance, to change their life for the better, that's the last kind of guy they want around. So from there we go, from America, where they're going to deport anyone with any masculinity, any measurable testosterone, they want you out of the country. The Chief Premier of Australia's Northern Territory. Isn't that an interesting title? He's not only the Chief, he's not only the Premier, he's the Chief Premier. Doubly in charge. Just in case you were wondering who's the boss in Australia's Northern Territory, it's Michael Gunner, and he's the Chief Premier. Now, he has an operation going right now using the military to round up Aboriginal tribesmen and place them into COVID quarantine concentration camps. He's got an operation going right now, rounding up the natives and putting them in concentration camps to protect them from COVID. Uh-huh, that's right. Well, he's protecting someone from COVID. Let's not get into exactly who. It's everyone, okay? He's protecting everyone, is Michael Gunner, the chief premier. Gunner told news reporters in an interview that the native Australians want to be in the camps. Uh-huh. That's right. They want to be in the camps. That's according to the chief premier. Because, you know, the Aborigines are terrified of catching a cold and perhaps dying. So they want to be in the camps. They want the government to come and round them up and put them in these concentration camps. Oddly enough, last week, three men escaped from the camp. They escaped from the concentration camp and the camp that they wanted to be in, that the chief premier had put them in. Despite wanting to be there, they escaped. Police then used helicopters and roadblocks, vehicle searches, right? It was hilarious watching the masked Australian troopers lifting up the bottom of your boot in your car, the bottom of your trunk, that little piece of cardboard that, you know, the spare tire. They're lifting it up as if three Aborigines could be hiding in the trunk of a Fiat. Just unbelievable. I saw it on TV. It was like a comedy routine. And the cops were wearing masks. It was just hilarious. Anyway, roadblocks, searches, all of this. They finally recaptured the men who Michael Gunner reminded us wanted to be in the concentration camps. They had to catch them and bring them back. Let's see, the men were located and taken into custody. They had absconded, by the way, from the chief premier's Center for National Resilience. That's what Michael Gunner, the chief premier, named the concentration camp into which he is incarcerating native peoples there in Australia for their own protection. I think they're working right now. I think Chief Premier Michael Gunner there in the Northern Territory in Australia, I believe the work continues on the giant metal sign that's going up over the gate, over the main gate of the National Resilience, I'm sorry, the Center for National Resilience there in the Northern Territory of Australia. Giant metal sign that will say, "Work makes you free." I believe that's going up in the coming days there at the camp. Now, from there, we go to the politics file, where Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is assuring all Floridians that he will not allow Florida to become captive to some media-driven hysteria that would infringe on people's individual freedoms when it comes to any type of COVID variant, including the Omicron variant. That's right. Governor DeSantis came out and made a very strong statement. He said, "We're willing to stand up to the federal government. We will not let the government lock you down. We will not let them take your jobs. We will not let them harm your businesses. We will not let them close your schools," said Governor Ron DeSantis, Republican of Florida. Why did he have to say this? Because initially he did. That's right. He has to reassure the citizenship there in Florida because initially Ron DeSantis did allow everyone to be captive of a media-driven hysteria when it came to COVID. He allowed the government to lock people down. He allowed them to harm their jobs and to take their jobs and harm their businesses. Not necessarily in that order, but he did both. He let them close the schools, and he basically, like every single other politician on the face of the planet, went into a fetal position and wept and cried in terror and fear as he became a dictatorial tyrant. Did Ron DeSantis, along with everyone else. Except the girl in South Dakota, I think, although she was pretty much hysterical, telling people to wear masks, making public service announcements, the whole thing. It was all embarrassing. You people are astonishingly embarrassing. So Ron DeSantis comes out and says he won't do it again. Yeah, I personally wouldn't believe him. Maybe when it comes to Omicron, he won't, because it's so obviously silly. I mean, the name itself comes from a comic book. I had to look it up, too, because I didn't go to college. I was never a member of a fraternity. So I'm not that familiar with the Greek alphabet. So I never studied Greek in theology school either. I just never got that far. And so it's not Omicron, it's Omicron. One thing I knew, as soon as I heard it, I knew that the Greek language didn't have that sound. I knew it had to be Omicron, but then I looked it up, and sure enough, it's Omicron, it's not Omicron. But I didn't know either, so you'll all be forgiven for mispronouncing it. Although not after this. You have to say it right after this. Anyway, so back to Governor DeSantis, who was a dictatorial lockdown tyrant for a little while until he realized it would be politically expedient to go the other way, at which point he did. It's why he can't be trusted. It's why he's a politician. Let's see. How do we know who Ron DeSantis really is? How do we know who he really is? Because the comments he made about being free and standing up and not allowing and all of that and not being afraid and no more variants and that blah, 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 blah. His comments were made at a press conference regarding his new budget in which he was seeking to renew $1,000 cash giveaways from the government to all the great law enforcement, EMT, and first responders. That's right. Yes, yes. He's abandoning hysterical tyranny, but the big money giveaways, he's going to keep going along with those. We're going to keep giving money away to all of our heroes out there. They're so heroic that we're going to steal money from our great-grandchildren and give it to them so they can go to the movies and make their car payment. After all, it's just our posterity. You know, it's over. That's all overblown anyways, the posterity. How important really is that? Says Ron DeSantis and all the other politicians who either shrunk in fear or rose up in tyranny against everything that's good and right and just and American and all of us and all of our children and all of our grandchildren. And all the rest. All right. So, do I want to do this one? No. Let's go to the sheer madness file. Sheer madness. If you weren't sure how bad things have gotten and how bad the state of the world is right now, let me help push you over the edge. People Magazine. You know, every year People Magazine names their Man of the Year. Oh, no. It used to be Man of the Year back when you could say man without being embarrassed about it. Or shamed about it. So the Man of the Year has slowly morphed into the Person of the Year, right? And now Time Magazine can't even... Is it Time Magazine? People Magazine. I'm sorry. I get them confused. It's large broadsheet pieces of paper stapled vertically down the middle and then folded over. It's called a magazine. So anyway, it's a magazine, and it's really just a website is what it is anymore, which is kind of sad. I like paper. I like books. Whatever. I'll probably be a crotchety old man reading a paper book. And when all the lights go out, I'll light a candle and be able to read my book. All the kids will be wandering around, bumping into each other, not knowing what to do. Anyway, People Magazine has named, yeah, maybe it's Time Magazine who does Man of the Year. That's why I'm confused. Maybe all these magazines have merged, and I didn't know it. Anyway, People Magazine has named Dolly Parton and Simone Biles as their People of the Year. Or no, maybe it's People of the Year. I think is how it's. I believe that's how it's to be enunciated. People of the Year. Not only them. Listen to this. People names Dolly Parton, Sandra Oh, Simone Biles. National Teacher of the Year, Juliana Urabi, and all the teachers, in America, yay, oh, People of the Year. They're everybody's People of the Year over at People Magazine. People reported that each individual did their part to make the world a better place during a transformative year. So there's like 147 pictures on the cover of People Magazine, including Dolly Parton. What has Dolly Parton done for civilization? That's it. You just heard it. Dollywood. She has a theme park where people go to squander their time and money acting stupid and being foolish. That's it. That's Dolly Parton's net contribution to civilization, is to waste other people's time. Sandra Oh, I don't even know who that is. Simone Biles, that's the pole vaulter who got like 6 abortions or something like that. I can't remember. Simone Biles, no, not pole vault. It was the pommel horse. The pommel horse girl who got the abortion so that she could have a career in gymnastics. She's a person of the year.
She had abortion?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. She was also molested by the coach. It's all a very sad story, but in the end, she turns out to be a self-absorbed. Anyway, so that's how bad it is, folks. We can't have a man of the year anymore. Can't have men. Certainly can't have a man of the year. And we can't make up our minds as to who is who or who does good or who's worthy of anything. And finally, People Magazine also listed reasons to celebrate during 2021. Why are we so happy and ready to celebrate? Oh, we're taking baby steps toward a post-pandemic life. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Had to wait until after that scream. It's one of the great screams in all of scream history. There are some good ones out there. That one was fairly convincing. As the world loses its mind. So we go from, where were we? We were with Dolly Parton, Simone Biles, and every teacher in America. People of the year. Those are the same teachers who were too afraid to go into the classroom for like a year and a half. People Magazine tell, all right, let's move on. I'm done with that. Into the widespread negligent homicide file. Yes, the widespread negligent homicide file. Sun Eng. Sun Eng is a 71-year-old Chinese immigrant who was hospitalized with COVID on October 14th, back at the height of the so-called Delta variant plague. He was hospitalized in Naperville, Illinois, was Mr. Sun Eng, 71 years old. His only child is Man Quan Eng. And she holds a doctoral degree in mechanical engineering because only Asians and mostly only Chinese get real degrees in America anymore. So Man Quan Eng got hers in mechanical engineering. She did her own research because, you know, she's smart. And she determined that her father should be given ivermectin as he was in the clutches of the dread virus. But against the daughter's wishes, the hospital refused to give the drug. The hospital refused, so the daughter went to court. Now, the dad's been in the hospital since October 14th. It's 2 weeks later. It's November 1st. She goes into court. The judge grants her an order requiring the hospital to give ivermectin to the dad. The hospital refused. So now, almost a week later, November 5th, One physician is testifying at yet another hearing, and she describes Sung Eng, dad, 71 years old. He's got COVID. The doctor says he's basically on his deathbed. He's got about a 10% chance of survival. So back in court, the judge directs the hospital to grant temporary privileges to Eng's doctor so that Eng's doctor can go in and administer the ivermectin. Well, the hospital resists the judge again. November 6th, November 7th, days are passing. Dad is dying. They denied Sun Eng's doctor privileges into the hospital, basically saying he's not qualified to practice medicine. That's what the hospital says when they refuse an emergency order to practice medicine. It's basically they're saying this doctor is not a good enough doctor to come into our hospital. It's a career-ending thing. It's a career-threatening type event for this to happen to a doctor. And the hospital was willing to do it. So they deny a qualified physician privileges to come into their hospital. And over the course of some more arguments, they say, look, the doctor wasn't vaccinated against COVID, so we couldn't let him into the hospital. It's not that he wasn't such a bad doctor. It's just that he's such a horrible person, he didn't take the vaccine. Meanwhile, Sun Eng, 71 years old now, has been in the hospital for almost a month, dying of COVID. So the daughter filed an emergency report with a court on November 8th. The judge told the hospital that it must allow Sun Eng's doctor inside. They must grant him privileges for 2 weeks so that he can treat his patient. So the hospital filed a motion to stay that order. And the judge had to deny that order. Again, ordering the hospital to allow a doctor to come in and practice medicine and try to save his patient. And here's the thing. You're trying to tell people the story of what's going on. And because of the Rube Goldberg-like qualities of the American justice system, by the time you get to this point in the story and you're describing all the machinations from one judge and one order and this and that and the restraining and the lifting and the granting, nobody really knows what's going on in the story anymore. But let me just cut to the chase. The hospital is killing a 71-year-old man who's sick and dying in the hospital because they won't let his doctor come in and save his life. That's what's going on here. Just in case the story gets a little confusing, that's what's going on. Finally, the Sun Eng's doctor is allowed to come into the hospital and administer medicine to try to save his life. Sun Eng was discharged from the hospital on November 27th. Wow. Uh-huh. So 6 weeks after being admitted into the hospital, and almost a month after being declared on his deathbed, the guy's released from the hospital. Where is this again? This is in Naperville, Illinois. It's in every town in America. So the hospital administration basically put into a state of fear, cowardice, and terror by lawyers has been brainwashed and zombified into thinking they have to follow CDC guidance as if CDC guidance overrides the actual practice of medicine by actual doctors who have actually examined patients. That's what's happening. And that is resulting in the negligent homicide of thousands and thousands of people who could survive COVID. They could survive COVID if competent medical professionals who actually examined them were allowed to make decisions to try to save their lives. But they're not being allowed to for fear of what? What is going on? What is this that we, how is it that the smartest people among us, the doctors, right? Remember when you were a little kid and your mom and dad said, son, if you study really hard, you could grow up and become a doctor. And now the doctors are behaving as if their children unable to make a decision, a rational decision in a life and death situation, which is what we counted on the doctors to do. We counted on the doctors to save lives because they're smart. And they did all the work and the study. And you go to the doctor and you hope that he'll save your life. You go to the governor when everyone around him is losing their mind, and you hope that the governor won't lock you in your house and destroy your business, that he won't close your church and freak out and become a tyrant, right? But what's happened? The doctors, the politicians, all the smartest people among us, all of the people whom we were told that we could put our trust in them, it's as if they've all been kidnapped and by body snatchers, and they've been replaced. You know, it's as if God said, let us go down to the earth in the year 2020, the number of the year that corresponds with mankind's scientific description of perfectly clear vision. Let us go down in 2020 and let us take this idol they worship called science, and with it, let us blind them. And let us cause their idol to lead them from the comfort and the entertainment that they say she has given them and to which they have bowed down. Let us cause her to take them from there into a fit of discomfort and madness, and she shall cause them to behave like dumb animals and imbeciles before one another in public, parading around as if they're fools. And even their kings will be made as if they were children and fools. And the entire earth will be shaken by her, until the wise no longer know what is true, and the foolish no longer believe, and then they shall know that I am the Lord. That's it. That's it. The Holy Spirit is moving amongst all of this madness and the ruins that they're creating. He's moving to take out for himself a people who call upon his name. Will you be one of those people? Because he's calling out. I'm telling you, the events that we're living through are more than just momentous. They're more than just historic. They're more than just interesting times, I'm here to tell you. When the wise no longer know what's true, then the foolish among us become the wise. And remember, God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And from there, we'll just move on through the from the widespread negligent homicide file, as if to just reassert the validity of the statement that the whole earth will be shaken. The whole earth is being shaken right now. We go into the insurrection file where Kim Porter is on trial. I'm not in Minneapolis. Kim Potter is an ex-police officer on trial for shooting Dante Wright. So which one of the unarmed black men on their way to a Bible study is Dante Wright? I can't remember. It's not Freddie Williams. It's not the other one. Who's the other? Can you name five or six or eight of them? With the baggy pants, right? And the belligerent demeanor, right? Who were on their way to bring food to the elderly, or I forget. Yeah, they were on their way to scrapbooking when they were murdered by white police officers. Dante Wright is one of those. One of those awarded the George Floyd National Commemorative. But it goes back before George Floyd. It goes to the kid in Missouri, right? The kid in St. Louis. The gentle giant. Anyway, who can remember? Who can keep track of all of them, right? Which one was Dante Wright? He's the one Kim Potter shot in Minneapolis. He's the latest one. And anyway, now the first day of Kim Potter's trial, Black Lives Matter demonstrations turned violent. Okay. So I'm not sure who the urinalist is here, but yeah, the demonstrations turned violent. That's the what happened during the demonstrations. The Black Lives Matter activists attacked a vehicle and tried to pull the driver out of his car, at which point the demonstration became violent. This was last Tuesday night in Minneapolis. Whatever. So this shaking is going to, apparently, this is the insurrection is going to continue as our governing officials are focused more on tyranny and handing out money than they are just preserving the domestic tranquility among the people, just keeping the peace. They're all distracted. They've all together become unprofitable. They're all being shaken. And they're all being made as if they were fools. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. And so I'm sitting in a burger joint. Sitting in a burger joint, as I'm often wont to do. Just eating my burger and checking my email. And there's two men in their late 70s, maybe their early 80s. They're having a hard time walking. They walk into the burger joint with their masks on. So they're having a hard time breathing. I mean, you're 80-something years old. These guys. Anyway, they walk into the burger joints, and as they sit down waiting for their burger and later on eating their burger, the entire conversation is centered around one of the old guys. After they sat down and took and were going to eat their burgers, they took their masks off, by the way, just so you know. One guy's telling the other guy how Trump is about to be indicted because Michael Cohen testified before a committee, and it's all going to come out. It's just all going to come out. And then the other old guy who took his mask off so he could eat his burger. Actually, he only had fries. I don't know how you do that. How do you go into a burger joint and just have fries? I guess when you're 80-something, you just don't eat as much. Or maybe he's concerned about his cholesterol. Anyway, the other old guy, he's kind of defensively expressing some doubt about Michael Cohen. Is he really trustworthy? Is Trump really going to be? I've heard before he was going to be indicted. He's not really defending Trump. The other guy's attack. Anyway, both of them, both men in their early 80s, they're both using talking points directly from MSNBC and Fox News, respectively, in an active conversation, in a real conversation between real people, which is astonishing to me.
That's what Sean Hannity does.
This is like the conversation that Sean Hannity actually has in his normal life. So I'm rather dismayed to hear this and to realize that these news networks and this 24/7 entertainment feed that we all have, this idol that we've built, right? That's all part of the same idol that we call science and technology that we've all built and bowed down before, and now it's got a hold of us. And these two guys, they're in their 80s. I mean, I thought to myself, as I listened to this Hannity's talking point, the noose with Brian Williams talking point. No, he's not. The news with, is it Brian Williams? I forget. Anyway, I'm listening to the conversation. I thought, you know what? No matter how close a man gets to meeting his maker, more than likely he will just continue to distract himself with frivolous talk right up until the end. He'll march right into eternity trying to distract himself from the fact that he's about to enter into eternity. Anyway, I wanted to say something. I was going to say something to these. I thought to myself, you know what? When I leave, I'm going to say, you know what? When you guys face God on Judgment Day, what Michael Cohen said and what Brian Williams said and what Sean Hannity said, it's none of that's going to matter, guys. Who got indicted and who testified and the Republican and the red and the blue and the none of that's going to matter. What's going to matter is what do you say about Jesus Christ? But I got a phone call from someone more important to me than these two guys, so they ended up leaving and never got my advice. And they will stumble backwards into eternity, worried about frivolous moments of the day that really have no eternal meaning at all. And that's how they will stumble backwards into eternity. So anyway, if I happen to encounter them again in that same burger joint by chance, hopefully I'll give them some advice. But otherwise, these guys are just, they're just gone. They're just gone. So sad. From there, we go into the dim new world file where for the holidays, stores in San Francisco are participating in the traditional boarding up before Christmas festivities. That's right. It's called the plywood before Christmas.
Already?
Well, yeah, it's going on. A high-end shopping district up there, Union Square in San Francisco, they're boarding up for the Christmas shopping season. According to Breitbart. That's right. Instead of holiday lights and festive decorations, downtown retailers in San Francisco are greeting shoppers with plywood encased storefronts and armed guards. Now, some of the plywood is being fashionably spray painted grays and, you know, even some festive green and reds on the plywood. Mm-hmm. The armed guards maybe be wearing some festive green and red holiday colors for the mass retail theft season there in Union Square. What do we have here? Retailers boarded up last year, you'll remember, during the Black Lives Matter riots. And again, they boarded up in anticipation of riots in case Donald Trump was reelected. And now they're boarding up because of looting unrelated to any particular event. Just general looting. Used to be there had to be a reason to loot. Now there's all there needs to be is a place to loot. It's unclear, according to Breitbart, how long the boards will remain up. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, as the tradition continues to grow. Not only Union Square, but coming soon to a shopping center near you. Uh-huh. The plywood before Christmas celebration. Plywood and deck screws before Christmas. Now, Union Square, let's see here, the article calls Union Square an oasis of prosperity in a gritty San Francisco downtown. You guys know what gritty means, right? Gritty, that's a polite way of saying filthy and dangerous, and a place where you may be robbed and or molested just for walking down the street. And Union Square Shopping Center was an oasis of prosperity in a gritty downtown. And now they're having to board it up and flee for their lives, basically, and hide out as the San Francisco Board of Commissioners follows the science Mm-hmm. We go from there to the big dumb politics file, where Donald Trump has some ideas about what needs to be done. By golly, about all this looting and destruction. Yes, Donald Trump is calling on Democrats to take action. Darn it, those darn Democrats. Got all this looting going on because of these darn dang Democrats. How does Donald Trump propose to stop all the smash and grab robberies and the wholesale looting of American shops? Well, he says, let's call on the National Guard. That's it. Donald Trump, he's the man who's going to save America. From the big dumb politics file, Donald Trump steps forward. His solution, militarize the stores. Call up the National Guard. I want machine guns outside Macy's, says Donald Trump. That's right. So now we've got hapless Marxists, basically, the insurrectionists who've seized the government in the coup d'etat. We've got them. And now we've got big, dumb politicians like Donald Trump. And, you know, folks, we used to have looting. Well, now we have looting, but without the riots, you know? It used to be that you could only get away with looting for a very short period of time in the midst of a chaos of a riot. That's the way it used to be. But now, looting is, it's an instrument of governance, actually, now. Being used by the communists, the Marxists, the perverts, the deviants who've seized power. And looting is now an instrument of governance in order to punish and scare the enemies of the dictators in power. And on the other side, or allegedly on the other side, I've never maintained that Donald Trump was on our side, by the way. Never a big fan. He says, let's militarize the stores. Let's get the National Guard up there with some machine guns in order to. Those darn Democrats, don't they know what to do? So Donald Trump has to call for machine guns and military police outside of the grocery store and the jewelry store because he has no clue about how swift, equal, and effective justice could actually solve this problem over the course of a weekend. The problem could be solved. There would be no more looting. There would be none of this. In fact, virtually every type of crime that you can describe could be reduced so dramatically as if to shake the world. The whole world would be shaken by the dramatic reduction in crime if a governing official, someone other than Donald Trump or the insurrectionists in power, actually simply apply just a few principles of justice and doled out swift, equal, and effective punishment for crimes, it would all be over, and we wouldn't need the National Guard or the Army in front of Macy's or Louis Vuitton. We wouldn't need any of that. But they're all clueless. They're all following the science. Science, I tell you. Science will be the answer to liberate us from our baser desires. Just follow the science. Look at her, how beautiful and glorious she is, as they bow down, the fools. Meanwhile, from the domestic tranquility file in Atlanta, Georgia, police officer, three others killed in a shooting last Tuesday. Killed in a shooting. So a shooting just organically erupted and killed an Atlanta cop and three other people. The Clayton County Police Chief, Kevin, out there says, my heart aches. His heart aches. That's the police chief. He's got a dead police officer right there in front of him, and he leads with weeping and aching. Hey, chief, what we need from you is you to lead with a little bit of righteous indignation. We've had enough of the effeminate weeping, okay? Everybody's sad. How about leave it to his mother and his wife to weep? How about you go out and demand justice for us? oh, that you have no measurable testosterone. That's why you've been allowed in the country and into the government. That's just great. Anyway, listen to this. Cops came on the scene of a massacre, basically. A 12-year-old boy who'd been shot in the face comes out to the cops and leads them to his house, where the killer opens fire on the cops. And later, the police find two women who had been murdered by the same maniac in the house who shot the cops. The 12-year-old boy with his face shot off gets taken to the hospital, and the police end up in a wild shootout, finally killing the crazed maniac. It's like a war zone in suburban Atlanta, Georgia. You almost expect Huey helicopters to come in, right? With an extraction team to try to get people out. It's like Black Hawk Down in Atlanta, Georgia, for crying out loud. I know, they should have been down there guarding Macy's and keeping the Louis Vuitton bags safe. How can we do that? We're going to send in the army, Donald? Is that what we're going to do? It's as if the kings have all become fools. Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us throughout the mayhem that has shaken the world and has engulfed not just the police, but the civilians and the shopping centers. And furthermore, from the war file, cops shot in the line of duty have hit a record this year. Is anybody surprised? That's not surprising, right? I'm surprised it took till November to break the record. The record, by the way, is from last year. 58 cops murdered on the job as of November 30th, 2021. That's up from 47 in 2020, which was the last record. 314 cops shot in the line of duty. That's up a new record over the 312 shot last year. Ambush attacks on cops are up 126%. 95 ambushes in 2021. 119 officers shot, 28 killed in ambushes. That is persons laying in wait to kill a cop. Oh, and there's a month left in the year, folks. There's about a month left to go to aim for new heights, so to speak, new depths in the devolution of Western civilization. Speaking of that, more from the war file. To find out more about warfare, open warfare in the streets, we go to Chicago, where Delisa Tucker is a 31-year-old single mom there in Chicago who recently lost her 14-year-old son. Do the math on that, folks. He's 14, she's 31. So the Washington Examiner, I believe this is an AP story, says Delisa lost her son to gun violence. So those violent guns out there came and took Delisa's son Kevin from her at the tender age of 14. Gun violence took him. That was last Sunday. Mom went to a memorial a few days later, and she was shot and killed. She was shot and killed. Well, you know, she's still of the age to be a gangbanger. Her son was of the age to be a gangbanger. So she goes to the memorial, and the other gang shoots and kills her. Police found no witnesses. A suspect has not been found in the murder of either the mother or the son. Mom, 31 years old, has 5 other children. So this is the template that was put into place by white liberals who promised urban black people that we will take care of you. You don't need a husband. So you end up a gang-banging mother with 6 illegitimate children, and then eventually you're all gunned down. Oh, the white liberals who promised they could take care of you, Mom, they left out the part of your entire family being slowly murdered and slaughtered in the streets. They left that part out. One of the family members actually said, actually, this is a pastor who he survived the vigil for the son. He was not shot and killed. Somehow the pastor who officiated survived, even though Mom was gunned down. Pastor Donovan Price said, it's just sad that this whole family basically is being killed over time. A whole family, a whole generation, a whole people group. That's right. The black family of urban Chicago is slowly being slaughtered by good intentions and white liberals and liars and murderers and thieves and deviants and perverts. The crucible in which Barack Obama and his ilk were hardened and then released out like a virus upon society. That is Chicago, by the way. This is where the people directing the coup, the insurrection that's taken the government, this is where they're from, Chicago. This is where they operate. By the way, there was a massacre at a school in Michigan. I don't want to forget about this. Doesn't make the top, doesn't make the above the fold anymore. The school there, well, the parents of the killer have been arrested because, well, they were responsible to some degree for what their son did. I can't get into all the details, but you've probably heard. I'll link to the story. You can find out. The parents were grossly negligent at the very least, if not actually culpable in the massacre at the school, based on what I've seen so far. And the school itself, the superintendent there at Oxford Community Schools, Oxford Community Schools, where safety first, the safety of our students is our number one concern. At Oxford Community Schools, the superintendent, Timmy, there says he's calling for a third party to investigate how he and the rest of the school handled the events leading up to the massacre. That's basically the superintendent saying, look, I realize I can't be trusted because I look really bad in all this. And so he's calling for a third party investigation because parents are questioning the school's version of events. And of course, Superintendent Scott knows that it's critically important to be transparent, and therefore he's going to call for a third party and immediately hire a bunch of lawyers so that he can increase transparency. The 15-year-old, by the way, murderer, the maniac, killed 4 other classmates. He wounded 7 other people. The killer told a guidance counselor when they found a drawing. Teachers found a disturbing drawing with a bullet, the words blood everywhere, a person appearing to have been shot, and the words my life is useless and the world is dead. So they found the picture with the killer, and they asked a guidance counselor to talk to him about it. He told the guidance counselor it was just part of a video game he was designing. And the guidance counselor thought that sounded plausible because video games like this are allowed. So the guidance counselor didn't find that surprising and had no inkling that this kid was about to massacre his fellow students because, you know, the kid's just into video games, whatever, you know. But that was the day of the shooting. In fact, the day of the shooting, the guidance counselor called the kid's parents down to talk to them about is everything okay with little Timmy? The morning of the shooting, the parents were called to the school to discuss the state of their sons. Anyway, the parents neglected to notify counselors that they had just purchased a gun for their son. And school administrators now face criticism for not notifying the sheriff about the drawing. Okay, So here's the thing. If the parents have been arrested, and I think rightly they should have, the entire school administration should also be arrested and charged with, they should all be charged as accessories. And but the thing is if you start doing the investigation and trying to figure out who is the accessory to the crime in this massacre, the final person arrested is going to end up being the president of the United States, because it's all of them. From the dog catcher all the way up, they're all responsible. They're all illegitimate. Our kings have become as if they're fools, and it's actually costing people their lives. And now the maniac who committed the massacre in Waukesha. No, this is different. This is a different one. I'm sorry. This last one was in Michigan, Oxford County, Michigan. Oh, the Waukesha massacre. That's the guy who drove through the parade. I'm sorry. There's so many massacres. Sometimes I lose track. I'll try to do better. From the demonic file, the Waukesha massacre suspect, this is according to the Post-Millennial, who I want to just give a hat tip to the editors at the Post-Millennial for calling him the Waukesha massacre suspect. Although suspect, I'm very hard on urinalists, I apologize, but to say it's a suspect when we have him on video, I think you could take a chance over there at the Post-Millennial, hang it out there a little bit, and risk the fact of just calling him the Waukesha massacre maniac. That, join me in just taking a chance, because, all right, they say he's alleged to have deliberately driven his SUV through the parade route. Okay, I'm just going to leave the urinalists aside and just get to the story. The massacre maniac told the media that he feels like he's being dehumanized. He feels like he's being dehumanized. He gave an interview to Fox News. Fox News exclusive interview with the alleged Waukesha massacre suspect. Alleged to have deliberately driven his SUV through a parade route. We've got the exclusive here on Fox News. Yeah, he gave an interview to Fox News from the Waukesha County Jail. Can you believe this? His mother, by the way, was also allowed to make comments to Fox News. Says the boy came from a loving Christian family. His grandson was a minister, and he has suffered from mental health issues since he was very young. He was on medication. He became an adult. And listen to what his mom says. When he became an adult, a decision was made that he no longer suffered from mental illness, basically detaching herself, her son, and any other living person from any responsibility for anything, which makes me believe she grew up and raised her son in a mainline Protestant Christian family. Yeah, the fact that she constructs a statement that separates her and anyone else living from any responsibility makes me believe she probably grew up in some sort of Christian environment. A Christian with a small c, by the way, and in quotation marks. Just so you know. Why do we care what his mother says? We don't care what his mother says about any of this. What we care about is what the videotape shows and the fact that this maniac should be executed publicly and painfully immediately, if not sooner. That's what we care about. By the way, the just system there in Waukesha, it has come under some scrutiny because he was released on bail for, I think, $100 in cash for running over a woman. You heard the whole story, right? Anyway, his bail hearing, the bail hearing of the maniac where they let him out of jail for $100 cash, that bail hearing, the video of it is missing. The county says there were technical issues and the records are missing, probably forever. Yeah, the actual evidence of them letting a maniac out of jail before he kills people, that's been, you know, technical. We all have technical issues from time to time. All right. Reason number 669 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Your child may be shot and killed at school. Back to the Michigan school massacre. Reason 669, by the way, Bob Enyart and I years ago compiled the first 666 reasons to get your children out of the government schools. And they all focused around the fact that the schools are godless, that they are designed to destroy America, to destroy your child, to inoculate your child against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then all other forms of psychological, spiritual, and physical molestation that might occur. Those were the first 666 reasons to get your children out. 667, 668, we got to 669, was that your child could be shot and killed, which they were in Michigan this past week. The Oakland County, Michigan the actual prosecutor wasn't able to get to this shooting because, you know, we got a lot of shootings going on in there. The actual prosecutor has a lot going on. So the assistant prosecutor condescended to make comments, and he said, I don't have the words, quote, I don't have the words, unquote. And then he appeared to be very emotional, but then he does have words. And then he goes on to rather matter-of-factly describe the latest massacre in some detail. The assistant goes on to say, video shows the killer, he calls the killer by name, and I'm not going to say the killer's name. So if you hear the word killer, know that that's the Fox News naming the killer and giving him some notoriety, which we won't do. Fox News being a participant. Fox News is one of the spirits that give the beast motion and movement. I forget how it goes in Revelation. And it's not like I'm into end times prophecy and all that stuff, but it's almost as if it's not the beast, right? I can't remember. But it's the false prophet, right? And then somebody puts the words in the false prophet's mouth. Or gives the beast I can't remember. It's anyway, Fox News is the spirit that fills the Antichrist idol. Fox News is one of the inputs. And so they name the killer to give the killer some notoriety, because then maybe there'll be a copycat killer and Fox News will be able to cover that, maybe even live. We might have live feed from the shooting. Brought to you by our sponsors here at Fox News. Got an exclusive. Anyway, so Fox names in the video, shows the killer enter a bathroom with a backpack. He exits with a gun. He deliberately aims the gun at students and begins firing at students, says assistant prosecutor Mark Keist after claiming he didn't have words. But we all have words for this. Now, there was a time when you wouldn't have words to describe somebody opening fire in a high school. But now we rather matter-of-factly just go through. After the students started running, he continued firing at them and firing into classrooms and at students who were unable to escape, unquote. Says assistant prosecutor Mark Keist. After he doesn't have words, he gives us all the words. The judge has moved the psychomaniac killer to the adult jail. She says she wants to err on the side of caution, says Judge, Judge Nancy. She wants to err on the side of caution. I will agree with you, Judge, that you are erring. On the side of what? Well, that will be determined, but I would say it's on the side of something other than justice. Let's see. The killer recorded videos on his phone the night before, talked about shooting and killing students the next day. He had social media posts and videos that indicate he planned to deliberately murder as many students as he could that day. A journal belonging to the maniac killer was recovered, details his desire to shoot up the school and murder students. And as I said earlier, his parents had visited the school just hours before the massacre to discuss their son's behavioral issues with the hapless administration there, the negligent and culpable administration at the school, and then the sheriff's department and the district attorney's office and the county board of supervisors and the mayor and the state legislature and the state senate and the governor and the president of the United States. All of them. They should all have jackets over their heads and handcuffs, being dragged into court, where they should face trial and swift, painful, and effective punishment so that things like this don't occur again in the future, or so that we at least minimize the possibility that things like this occur in the future. Meanwhile, Alec Baldwin told George Stephanopoulos. So right there, you want to stop and you want to wonder, what sort of psychotic, mad alternate universe have we shifted into that George Stephanopoulos is asking Alec Baldwin if he, how exactly did you kill that woman on? Anyway, it's just a really strange world, folks. It's a really, if you don't think that there's something of some eternal significance going on right now, then you simply don't understand that there's always something of eternal significance going on right now. Always. It's always. It's just right at this very particular moment, it is an acute shaking of everything for a purpose. This shaking of everything that's happening right now, the fact that the wise among us don't know what to believe, and the fools among us appear to be wise. All of this is happening for a purpose, and it's to point you to God. That's the purpose. Alec Baldwin and George Stephanopoulos are not going to help in that. Except as they're commented upon by persons like myself who want to help you get pointed to God in all this madness. And through all the smoke and the haze and the insanity and the masking and the negligent homicide at the hospital. Folks, if you get sick, the last place you want to go is the hospital. Be very careful of going to the hospital, especially if you're sick. I hate to say that, but I mean, they're basically worshiping a set of rules and they'll let you die as long as they check off the box. It's very scary. Meanwhile, from the justice file, George Stephanopoulos asked Alec Baldwin, exactly how did you shoot that lady that you killed there? He didn't ask it that way, but anyway, Baldwin says the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger. So not only does he say the trigger wasn't pulled, he says I didn't pull the trigger. Why? Because he's lying. That's why he said it twice. And any amateur, I don't want to say psychologist. All you have to be is a relatively sentient observer of human behavior to know that he's lying. And then he goes on to lie some more and to make it even more obvious that he's lying. Stephanopoulos asks him, so you never pulled the trigger? Stephanopoulos feigning like he doesn't understand what did you just say? Did you just say you didn't pull the trigger? Well, let's deconstruct the sentence. I didn't pull the trigger. George, it's fairly obvious what he said. But because George doesn't believe him, right? In George's deep heart of hearts, he realizes immediately that's a lie. So he says, you didn't pull the trigger, as if to say, well, that's ludicrous. But he couldn't say that's ludicrous because George Stephanopoulos is going along with all this. So he says, you never pulled the trigger? Not you didn't, you never? You mean like the night before you didn't pull or the day after you didn't pull? You mean never?
No.
Says George Stephanopoulos, because he's a liar too. Anyway, Alec Baldwin goes on to confirm the fact that he's lying by saying, I would never point a gun at anybody and pull the trigger at them. Never. So how many indications are there that he's lying? First of all, he says he would never point a gun at anyone. Never. Never. Not before I shot them. Not after I shot them. Not before or after anyone else shot them. I would never. And he would never pull the trigger at them, because that's what you do with a trigger, right? You pull it at people. Who's ever said that I pulled the trigger at him? No one's ever said that, but no one's ever been lying in this particular situation like Alec Baldwin is right now. And then, as if to make sure we all know he's lying, he ends his statement with the word never. I would never point a gun at anybody and pull the trigger at them, never. He might as well have just have said, yes, I shot her. I don't know what exactly how or why or how, but I shot her and I'm sorry and I feel horrible and I deserve some sort of punishment. Please punish me so I can stop lying and torturing my mind with the lies that are going to drive me into my grave and eventually to eternal damnation forever. Please help me. This is Alec Baldwin's second cry for help. Alec, we're here. What you need to do is just admit that you just were being negligent and careless and foolish, or maybe homicidal. I don't know. But whatever it is, you got to admit it, okay? Just get it out. And that will help, Alec, at least get you on the path toward no longer no longer being on the path to eternal damnation, which is where you're going right now. Straight to hell with jet rockets. All right. So do I want to close? What do I want to close with here? Because it's almost the end. It's actually past the end. We've gone past the end, as we quite often do. There's so many horribly scary and awful things. But I want to end in the justice file. And this is a comment on Western civilization in general. As is the current mania, the current hysteria is a... it is a picture of the collapse of Western civilization. That civilized part of the world that has kept us from 1,000 years of darkness is collapsing before our eyes. And it's because we have abandoned God and justice and all of that. Even in the obvious situations. Listen to this. A German court convicted an Iraqi man of genocide and war crimes, specifically in the death of a young girl he bought as a slave. This Iraqi man purchased a girl and her mother when the Iraqi Islamic State besieged the Yazidi community. So this deviant piece of garbage, convicted in a German court, was a member of the Islamic State who executed the massacre and the enslavement of the Yazidi community in Iraq. Do you remember, people? Do you remember the Yazidis trapped by ISIS on the side of that hill? Remember that? It went on for weeks. We remember here. Do you remember the horror of that and how shocking that was? That these women and children and old men were basically chased to the top of a hill and trapped there by maniacs. Well, this is an actual trial that happened of one of the men who did that. The trial began in April of 2020, but it was delayed because of the pandemic. That's what UPI says, United Press International. The trial of a psychomaniac murderer terrorist was delayed because of the pandemic. It was actually delayed because of the hysterical, panicked, and ultimately diabolically coordinated tyrannical reaction to a potential crisis. But let's get back to the trial. So the trial was delayed. The girl and her mother were regularly subjected. This was proven at trial. The girl and her mother were regularly subjected to beatings and near starvation and forced to live by strict Islamic law when they were enslaved by the defendant in Fallujah. And so the German court convicts the guy of genocide and war crimes, and they sentence him to some period in prison. Life in prison, they say, and he's got to pay a fine to the girl's mother. So in Germany, they cannot figure out justice for a terrorist, genocidal maniac. And in America, we have effeminate suburban wussies who question, why did Americans die in Fallujah? Why did Americans die in Fallujah? This is why. It was worth it. Win, lose, or draw. For any of you soft, comfortable suburban wussies to whine about endless war, well, go tell this girl, these women, they faced an endless war. We did what was right to stop it, but our boys were sold out by corrupt perverts and deviants and the Congress and the Pentagon and all the rest. But it was worth it. Those of you who went, it was worth it. That's the Weekly Worldview for this week. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio. And if the Lord should tarry, we'll return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.